Being an entrepreneur is really hard work. You're going to fail so many times. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have this idea that you think, this is it. This is awesome. Everybody's going to think this is so cool. And you can't sell it. And you got to pick yourself up. And you got to try again. And you got to do it again and again. And then you got to not give up. That's where I've seen it really grow my daughters. That it might take years. That you can't give up on this thing that you're working on. And eventually it pays off. And then what you learn as a result of that is amazing. How you learn that hard work is going to be worth the effort.
My name is Lisa, mother of seven and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking with Michelle from Solely Rested. She also has a podcast called Simple Doesn't Mean Easy. And we are going to talk about encouraging entrepreneurship in children. So whether you homeschool or you don't, there are a lot of valuable lessons that you can learn through entrepreneurship. I've learned so much about life, about myself. I've learned how to cultivate confidence, how to fail, all through entrepreneurship. And so it is a valuable teacher. And Michelle is on the other side of homeschooling four children for 20 years, and she now has adults. And so she has some credibility to talk about this topic. So let's dive in and talk about cultivating entrepreneurship in kids, whether that is your skill and you're naturally good at it, or it's something that you see the value in, but you don't exactly know how to pursue. Let's chat about that with Michelle. Thank you so much, Michelle, for joining me again. I'm pretty sure you've been on here before. That or I was on yours or both.
You were on mine. Yep. This is a first for me. So thanks for having me.
Okay. Cool. I'm so glad to have you. So we are going to be talking primarily today about encouraging an entrepreneurial mindset in our kids. This is coming from your experience of having homeschooled four kids for 20 years. So you have a long homeschooling journey behind you, and you've been embarking on entrepreneurial endeavors throughout that time and encouraging it in your kids. So this is, I think, a good topic for people who maybe entrepreneurship doesn't come supernaturally, but yet they want to encourage and instill that in their kids. So let's get started by you just introducing yourself, telling us about you, your business, your family, whatever else you want to share.
Oh, okay. Well, that's way too open-ended, Lisa, because I love talking, so I'll have to keep it really short. I have been writing about simple living for almost a decade now, and my first published book was all about the thing I never even liked before we moved rurally and started a farm. I always hated maple syrup. But we started tapping trees, and lo and behold, I realized, oh my goodness, natural sugar is like the best in the world. What was I thinking? Mm-hmm. So I wrote a book about how to do that. And I've been learning everything step by step, mistake by mistake, as we go for almost 10 years now, from everything from kombucha to dehydrating to preserving food. And my most recent last few years has really been focused on avoiding as much processed food as I can. So that's what I talk about a whole lot over on my podcast, which is the Simple Doesn't Mean Easy podcast.
Awesome. Okay. That pretty much sums it up. So
didn't mention a thing about my kids though. Maybe I should
have. let's talk about that homeschooling journey.
Yeah. See, that ended, how many years ago now? It's been 6 or 7 years. And I tell you what, by the time I will not lie, by the time I got to the 20th year, I was kind of ready to be done. It's a hard thing. It's all consuming. I'm so thankful. So thankful I could do it, but I'm not sure I could have did it for 30 years, you know? But hey, God called me to it and he would have provided, and I'm sure it would have worked out if that's what I was supposed to do. But I have four daughters and they are all now adults. They all in different forms and different intensity do have an entrepreneurial mindset. And I assume that really started way back when they were young, when we were homeschooling. A really big concern of mine, I remember just being so fearful when they were young that somehow I would miss what their God-given abilities were, because that was just in my mind as a mom, one of the most important things for me to do, because me as a child, I never knew. I mean, I honestly got to the end of my traditional high school career and I had no clue, Lisa, what I was good at. The only way I even had a slight clue was I missed the award ceremony in senior year. I forget why. I didn't think it was important. I didn't go. And the next day in school, Miss Litzenberg got so mad at me because she's like, Michelle, I gave you the award for best writer in the English department and you weren't there. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't even know that she thought I was a good writer. So, I mean, like, I just didn't even realize what my talents were. And it was something I was always kind of clueless about and trying to figure out as I went. And when I started homeschooling, that was really a worry for me. Will my daughters grow up not knowing what they're good at? Because that's not what I want. I want to make sure they see what they're good at. And I knew if they were like me, they might miss it. So I was always really trying to closely watch that.
Yeah, that's not something I feel like I really ever thought about growing up. Like, you know, like the obvious things, like whether you're good at taking tests or sports, because those are the things that you encounter.
Right.
But how do you feel like homeschooling in itself, we can get into the more targeted, like how you actually foster this type of advice, but how do you think homeschooling in itself sets you up for exploring that as opposed to the model that you were in where you feel like you didn't know? Because I'm the same. I'm like, I don't know that I really felt like I had any skills. I felt like I was pretty good at school because I could
Me
do
too.
Well in school.
Straight A's.
Yeah.
You know?
Like
but
that's about
but
it. I really wasn't sure how that was going to translate.
Me too. Totally. I just wanted to be the good student. I just wanted to be the good daughter, the good girl, but it didn't mean anything to me. And I just memorized the facts rotely and I knew how to spew them out on a test and that was it. Now, my daughters are all kind of the exact opposite, honestly. In fact, my daughter, who's an engineer, got to college and she said, you know, Mom, I think the one thing that you maybe should do a little better with the younger ones, maybe they really should take some math tests, because like I didn't give math tests. You know, we went through the curriculum. When Logan got to ninth grade, she was doing college level math. So she was going off to the community college. I wasn't even involved in it then. So at that point she started getting tests. But until then, I didn't even like do tests. So they never felt like, oh, they were straight A students. It was totally the opposite. They felt like, what do I love learning about? What do I want to read about? What do I have three bookshelves in my room filled with books on what topic? That's my thing, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I know how homeschooling leaves some time for that, especially it kind of depends on how you structure your homeschool day. If you are spending, you know, if you're getting certain curriculums that you feel very married to, you might be doing school at home. That is not exactly how we're doing it here in our home. And so there is definitely more time to figure out what you're good at and then pursue that.
Yes.
So do you have some big like revelations on, you figured out pretty early on how to figure out what your girls were good at, or was this a worry you carried with you for a while?
Thankfully, no. I mean, they were too young when I was worried about it. You know, looking back, I'm sure you feel this way too as a mom. You look back and you're like, why did I worry about that at that age? I mean, what? So I definitely worried about it too young, but absolutely. When they got to a point, it was probably like in the 7 to 10 year old range, probably. All kids are different. Mm-hmm. And mine are all girls. It's probably different for boys. But around that age range somewhere, I just started really paying attention to what do they gravitate towards? What do they really love to do? And because we homeschooled, we had so much more time. We didn't have the whole brick and mortar thing that they had to be in the classroom certain hours. We didn't have the whole transportation to school on a bus back and forth, wasting hours a day. You know, we had all the time in the world. And even though I had 4 daughters to, you know, think about this with and focus on, I still had plenty of time to spend individually with them on things they just freaking loved to do. And, you know, 85% of that, maybe 95%, never led to something entrepreneurial necessarily, but it built up their skills and it built up mom noticing, ooh, she is really good at blank, you know? And eventually, whatever that blank was, transferred somehow into part of what they were doing to figure out how to make money as they got older.
Okay, so with kids, you know, they're likely very different interests. So how do you foster these different interests when you have 4 different kids simultaneously who are presumably very different from each other.
They are. I found, do you find you kind of, you don't want to categorize your kids ever, but you kind of have like groups of kids, like two or three are really interested in this and really good at this. And then there's a couple of kids that are really, you know, and they realize it.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
they go do those things together, you know, and it crosses over. Like there's some things that two mm-hmm. girls really do together, but then this sister goes with that sister because she's really into something else over here. I just encouraged that. I allowed the time for it. I again and again told myself, because I was also so worried about, will they be brilliant when they graduate homeschool? That I was worried about the curriculum too. And I had to time and again tell myself, wait a minute, Michelle, what they're doing right now, they're learning coding because they really want to have a website, because they really want to be able to do this and make money or whatever it was. That's science today. If we don't crack open the science book, I'm going to breathe deep and I'm going to be okay with that. So that's one way that I found the time. Do we ever get to the end of a textbook? Maybe a few times in those 20 years, we actually got to the end of the textbook. But, you know, I would again and again tell myself what they're doing is math. What she's doing right now, that's totally science. You know, right there, that's history. She's learning about that other country and that's geography. So I would always tell myself that to make myself not worry too much about their academics.
Yeah.
And give them more time to be entrepreneurial.
Yes. Okay. So, and I was thinking with mine, like sometimes it doesn't go with ages or genders. I have personalities that you would have thought, oh, it'll be these two girls will, you know, go off and do this. And then maybe like these two boys, and they find matches based on personality that are not even necessarily, actually, they're usually quite opposite on the ages and the genders. I have two that are so similar, yeah. yet they're further apart, and they're girl and boy. And I let them go off on projects all the time because they can. What about the kids who, because I have some like this too, and I know that there's people who do, who you have to kind of push a little bit more. I was talking about this with some other moms. I'm like, but have you ever dealt with laziness in certain kids where their interests don't become super fast and apparent and they're not motivated to pursue their interests?
Yeah. But I'd also say that if I just sat back, number one, sometimes they were just out of sheer boredom, had to figure out something to be interested in, you know, if I just sat back and was hands off. But number two, more than that, they were seeing what the other siblings were doing. And it's not often that my kids weren't competitive. And if one sister is accomplishing this, you know, or, you know, this one actually was able to raise $400 in a day, I need to figure out what I can do, you know?
Yeah.
But absolutely, it's not a trait for everybody. And it's not a personality trait that everyone has, for sure. And that's okay. But there's parts of entrepreneurship that everybody can have. And there's parts of it that if a child doesn't naturally just start doing this, you can show them. It could just be a matter of at the grocery store working through what your budget is like and how you choose what you're choosing and why certain things are important. And that leads to them having to have the mindset that if they ever are going to start a business of some sort, they really need to be able to do a cost-benefit analysis. And they're going to be able to do that because, well, I've always helped mom with grocery shopping, and I understand the pros and cons of why some things are worth paying more for and how it all ends up in the wash, you know? So I don't know if I answered your question, but.
Yeah, no, that's good. So we're going to talk about entrepreneurship and how you specifically foster that in your kids throughout their homeschool. Let's start at the very beginning. Why do you think that's important for all people? Some people might be thinking, well, I'm not really, like, we're not of entrepreneurial stock, you know, we don't really, that's just not our personality type. Why would it still be valuable to take part in some of these entrepreneurial pursuits, even if you think that your kids aren't necessarily going to start their own business someday? They probably will maybe be a professional or something where it's not that style of life. What's the value you see?
Even if they always have a 9-to-5 job. I have a daughter who, like I said, she's an engineer, but she wanted to have side hustles, I guess I could call it. mainly for her because she's creative and she wants that outlet. And to her, you know, this typical behind the desk kind of job isn't giving her as much of the creative outlet as she wants. So she's even willing in her cost benefit analysis to not make a whole lot an hour because she loves quilting pillows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's going to earn her a little bit, then, but then other daughters, like 2020 hit and college was out the window for a couple daughters, like for different reasons, just not going to happen. And one started pursuing resale and she's gotten so freaking good at it, Lisa. I think it's going to be her full-time gig and she loves it. And she realized how much she loves it, like the thrill. And her husband does it with her. And they're like, it's the thrill of the thrift shop hunting and the crazy, amazing, great thing you find for a buck that you can resell for $85, you know? And, but I think it really helps that she, all her growing up years, saw her siblings doing it. She herself did it. She had to raise money because she wanted to be part of a robotics team that required travel. And she needed quite a few $100s. So she figured out a way to teach a camp in the summer to have, I think she had 6 kids come, and she figured out what the value was worth to the parents. And they came every day for a week and the parents paid her really well because she had really cool tech equipment from previous robotic experience she had. And she was able to get the money she needed. So she had those experiences that enabled her to now, when 2020 hit, her plans totally changed. She couldn't do what she thought she was going to do her whole life. She regrouped and she realized, hey, I really love doing this and I have the ability to do it. And she was able to figure out pretty quickly how to make really good money at it because she had little by little learned those skills throughout her life.
Yeah, I like the idea that focusing on entrepreneurship helps to open your mind to what all can be possible that I don't think I really even realized until I started my own business. And I've started unsuccessful businesses before I've started a successful business. I tried a lot of different things trying to, and that's all part of it. But it really opened up my mind, even just to like looking at the big companies and thinking, oh, that commercial was just somebody's idea. And that marketing, the way that they positioned themselves for that thing, it like lifted this curtain to where I saw everything differently as the person kind of on the other side of it. And it also teaches...
It's so true.
Yeah, it just teaches you almost like you get a behind the scenes look. Even when your business is tiny and small, you see what it could be if it was bigger. And so it's almost like you understand the behind parts of it. And then there's just a whole array of skills that you learn from it. You learn how to be a self-starter. You learn finance. You learn a lot of things you don't even know that you're going to learn, but you get forced into it.
And you learn marketing, like you were saying.
Marketing's the biggest thing that I learned that I am continuing to learn. It's like literally what I do is market. Marketing is my life, even though that doesn't appear to be my job. It is the job. Marketing's the job. Like, right now, you know, when I'm trying to figure out how to get more people onto my website, more viewers on my YouTube channel, it is 100% figuring out how to position the video and the content in a way that it'll get seen. It's all marketing. And it's just this learning curve that you get on this journey and you otherwise can't encounter a lot of those things. So I can see why, you know, for homeschool, it's such a valuable thing. Yeah. It just opens so many doors.
And, you know, two other things I'm thinking of. First of all, my daughters, all 4 of them, my youngest one is less of this than my oldest, but they're all really shy. And it's not because we homeschooled. It's because their dad is really quiet. You never know it if you only know me, because like I could talk forever to anybody. I've never met a stranger, but my husband is really quiet. And all 4 of them are the same way. All 4.
They all got his.
So yes, but it really taught them. And it was so hard. It took years with each of them. When they wanted to present any sort of a business idea or put themselves out there to sell something, they really needed to market themselves. They really needed to learn, I have value and I can explain my value. And to a kid that's shy, that's huge. And if you're a believer, to a kid that you're raising up to see themselves as being made in the image of God, if they're really shy and they're never able to present themselves in that way, it's really important to me, you know, for them to be able to not be pompous and necessarily proud in a bad way, but to be able to see, I have worth, I have value. And I have figured out, after a lot of hard work, how to do this thing. And this thing can be really helpful to other people. So should I talk about it? Yeah, of course I should. Why not, right? So that was a really important skill for all of them. And it was hard, really hard for them to be able to do that. Because, I mean, when they got to the point that they were filling out college applications, they were still learning this. And this is after, you know, all of middle school and high school of working on entrepreneurial things and learning to talk to people and learning to value themselves for what they really are worth. They get to the applying to colleges and they still had trouble with this. And that's where it really clicked, though, that they realized, I really have to figure out my really strong points and I have to really talk them up, because it's important to me that I get to this school for this program or whatever it was. You know, they actually didn't all, some of them chose to do dual credits at home the last few years of high school. So they graduated with 2 years of college and then they chose to do community school and online and all this. They didn't all have this intense of a process as the daughter that was applying to major engineering schools, you know.
Yeah.
But it was something they needed to learn, and it really helped them in the end. And the other thing that you made me think of, being an entrepreneur is really hard work. Like you said, you're going to fail so many times, mm-hmm. and you're going to have this idea that you think, this is it. This is awesome. Everybody's going to think this is so cool, and you can't sell it, you know, and you got to pick yourself up and you got to try again, and you got to do it again and again. And then you got to not give up. That's where I've seen it really grow my daughters, that it might take years, that you can't give up on this thing that you're working on. And eventually it pays off. And then what you learn as a result of that is amazing, how you learn that hard work is going to be worth the effort.
Yeah. Even imperfect hard work. And then also, like you said, the failure aspect, that's such an important thing to learn while you are in a position of being under your parents and, you know, being provided for by your parents, because that is like such a skill to learn how to try something and fail is one of the top skills that entrepreneurship has taught me. And when, you know, if you're only ever doing things that you're successful in, you don't learn that. And then you learn it's just not that scary. It's okay.
And nobody likes those people. Who likes those people, right? We need to see people that can fail and try again. I mean, yeah. And it's something you can't learn any other way, I feel like, other than failing and trying again and trying again. It's a growth thing that I can't imagine how else you learn it other than failing and keep going.
Yeah. I want to take a break from this episode to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors, and that is Tubes & Co. Tubes & Co. makes natural and organic skincare products that don't make you compromise on the quality. So they use ingredients that don't have anything synthetic or any of those chemicals that you find on the list of things to avoid, like most products. Yet they actually work really great. I have a full face of Tubes & Co. makeup, and of course you can go more made up by using the bronzer and the highlighter. I usually, a lot of times on my daily wear, just do the foundation, sometimes the concealer, the mascara I absolutely love, and then I'm really into their eyebrow pencil because I'm not a makeup artist, and it makes it really easy for me to do the whole eyebrow thing without really knowing what I'm doing. It has a little brush on the end and then a liner on the other side that's angled and makes it really easy. They also have amazing skincare products. I love their tallow balm. It's incredibly moisturizing, yet uses tallow from grass-fed cows, which you wouldn't think to use tallow on your face, or maybe you do now because it's definitely gotten more popular. But the way that it actually makes its way into your skin versus an oily-based thing like a coconut oil that I've done in the past that sits on top is incredible. It works so much better than a lot of the other natural moisturizers that I've tried. Plus, they have some really amazing scents. They also have cleansers, toners, the full line of facial care, but in an organic and natural way that you don't have to worry about what's actually in it. A lot of times, you know, we have these lists of things that we should avoid, and then whenever we look at all of our favorite products, they have them. You don't have to worry about that with Tubes & Co. It's nourishing, organic ingredients. Very simple yet effective. I'm not a lipstick wearer, but they have beautiful lines of lipstick. So if you are someone who likes a bright, punchy lipstick, but you're worried about all of the stuff going in, they have some wonderful nourishing lipstick as well. Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off by using the code FARMHOUSE. So head on over to tubesandco.com and use the code FARMHOUSE to stock up on some organic, nourishing, amazing skincare. Okay, so were entrepreneurial pursuits part of your homeschool day? Let's get into some of those specifics. This is kind of like abstract at this point, but yeah.
Okay, we'll get really specific. I'll give you a really good example. My third daughter was 9 years old when she had been talking about it for years, but suddenly at the age of nine, for a couple of different reasons, horse riding lessons were absolutely necessary. Like this was, she had to do it or she thought the world was going to end, right? Yeah. And she said at the same, it was unrelated, but I knew she loved being in the kitchen. She was three and she was using sharp knives to cut tomatoes and I survived. I didn't like panic, you know, and she's just always been great in the kitchen. Then she asked me when she was probably around eight she wanted to make homemade food for our dog, homemade cookies and treats. And meanwhile, money was so tight. Cause you know, I spent all of my days, all of my hours invested in homeschooling. We were single income family. And I remember going, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can afford that this week for her to go out and buy ingredients for her dog cookies, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's really what started the first major entrepreneurial pursuit of any of my daughters, because I taught Kayla on that day what a cost benefit analysis was. I said, we have to sit down. We have to figure out what these ingredients are going to cost. How many cookies can you make from this recipe? You know, she went through the whole thing. That was the entire afternoon for her of school. And within a couple of days, she had decided on a recipe. She had made the cookies. She went to her dad's work where she knew there were some dog owners and she took some samples. By the end of the day, she had sold $412 worth of dog cookies.
Wow.
And within a week, she had found a little groomer that was near her dad's work that would sell cookies on their counter, you know, and she worked out with them what that would look like. And within another probably year or two, she had three retail customers. She had a dozen, I think she was up to maybe 20 at one point, monthly customers. She learned if I have monthly people that are paying me annually or biannually, then I don't have to worry about always pestering people and trying to sell. So she then, it was probably 5 or 6 years worth of school that it was part of almost every day for her. She had notebooks. She had on her chart that we kept for homeschooling. She would document what she did that was related to her business. And it became a part of her day. And then a lot of times sisters would help. And, you know, looking back, they could have been really smart about that and said, hey, Kayla, let's figure out how many hours I'm helping you. What are you going to pay me per hour?
Right.
It never came to that now that I think about it, but they were eager to help her and it was fun for everybody. And they learned, I think that was part of it. They learned and they all started, their wheels started turning, you know, ooh.
My kids always charge each other. They're like, oh, if I'm going to help you with that, you're making what? Okay.
I think that's smart.
Yeah. Okay. That is a really cool business. And at the time, there wasn't, you know, she had to go up to her dad's work, sell it to local people nowadays. And I never know how much to allow my kids to do.
I know.
But you could even do online, you know, and that's something like one of my daughters really wants to make a sewing course and she's working on a sewing course. And I'm like, also, there's this tension as a mom who has a following, yeah. You know, like, do I help you and help you like reach people? Or do I just be like, yeah, go try to launch that thing. See how it goes. You know, like to what extent do you help your kids since you have built up a platform and you have your Instagram, your podcast and all of this stuff, your blog.
Lisa, we all want to see her stuff. Please help her. Absolutely.
Well, it's not done yet. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I feel like it's very unrealistic because I could get her a huge launch that would not be realistic for real life at all.
Right. But so many times with my kids growing up, we were in certain clubs doing certain things, and I would often see adults who, like, they were parents leading different things, who would be like, okay, kids, you got to figure it out. And they, like, they gave them almost nothing. And they like, threw a few things in, okay, figure it out. And this is teamwork. And I'm going, that's not how I would learn. I need to be elbow to elbow with somebody who knows how to do it, you know? So why not have her elbow to elbow with you learning, like, sure, you've put the work in, you have the platform, but why can't she watch that, learn that? Why can't she benefit from it? I mean,
oh, absolutely. I just don't know to what extent you should, like, have them learn their, how to make their own platform,
right?
You know, like, to teach. Yeah, absolutely. Like, we have these homeschool markets in our area.
I love that.
And my daughters did, one of them did, like, a sourdough bakery. And I think she learned after that, that, dang, this doesn't pay very much. We baked literally all day long and made $100, you know? I'm like, yep, I could have told you that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Jordan, the one who did the summer camp, that paid really well. But before that, she's the one that does resale now. She had started baking, like, real food. She's like, well, my sister's selling dog cookies, I'm going to do real food. She learned two things really quickly. Uh-huh. Number one, people pay way more for their dogs. I mean, way more.
Yeah. What the heck? I guess because, like, you can just get food at the store for $1 for a loaf of bread. I don't know.
And she learned number two, it's a novelty. Like, it's harder, at least then, it was harder to find really homemade natural things for your dog versus it's not so hard for somebody to bake you cookies. And she learned, this was the big thing, that everybody wanted it at Christmas and for Thanksgiving and for the 4th of July. And those were all times she didn't want to be baking, you know? So now that she's doing the resale, she's doing something that she is in control of those hours. She's in control of, you know, a lot more things. So she learned early on, I don't want something that's not going to pay well or that's going to require me working when I don't want to be working, you know? So I'm with your daughter. I wouldn't be into selling my baked goods.
Yeah. Yeah. You learn with a lot of entrepreneurial pursuits. And what I learned in my early days, because I have done the farmers markets early in my, I think I had two little girls.
They're tough, aren't they?
Oh, I baked bread all day long, brought it there, and I'm like, cool. So I netted like $50. And I mean, and that was great. And it was
plus
great.
Plus you have to pay for your table.
You learn pretty quick that's not the way. No. But those are all very valuable learning experiences. I also started a website back before there was, like, website builders. And I had to literally, like, make this website on this external thing and then upload it to the internet. This was in 2008.
You are
way more brilliant
than I am. I could never have done
that. Well, it didn't work out. I, like, literally thought that if I put this website on with my, I was selling cloth diapers. I got all these retail accounts, you know, with, like, I was a wholesale or whatever.
Okay.
And I, like, uploaded it and I was, like, waiting for the sales to come in.
I remember when you were selling really cool homes, like, sewn things.
That was way later, though. Thinking, that was actually, like, semi-successful compared to these early things. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Like, I don't think I ended up selling any of those on that original website. I went to some baby expos and set up booths and sold cloth diapers there and just learning, okay, this is $500 to be here.
Well, I was going to ask, were you doing it also, though, because you want that creative outlet? Like, my one daughter, like, she's not making much money doing her quilting, but she really likes the creativity, you know, the outlet.
I really wanted to make money. I got to be honest. I learned the ways not to first.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I love having a creative outlet that also pays. That is definitely the thing I would want the most. But at first, like, those original websites, no, I was thinking, okay, if you can buy these wholesale for this price, sell them for this. You know, I didn't know how to, I had even bought Google AdWords at that time. And I, you know, it was a lot of learning process. But yeah, I guess, to what extent do you help the kids? And I'm always willing to help them with, you know, getting some of the supplies, but then I want them to also know that actually cuts into your profits and, you know, all of those real lessons that I had to learn on my own.
Yeah. I'm really thankful, actually. I can say this now that I'm on the other side of it, but I'm thankful that we were on such a tight budget and I couldn't pay for the horse riding lessons. I literally couldn't. So I had to invest my time because there's no way a 9-year-old can figure out cost benefit analysis and know how to choose the right recipe. And she couldn't drive herself to the customers that were going to buy the cookies. So I had to be invested in it.
Oh yeah. No, mom has to be involved.
I had to. Yeah. And I'm glad that I couldn't just give her the money for the horse riding lessons because she's a whole different person today. I mean, she of all of them, I would say is the strongest entrepreneurial spirit because she worked really hard at a really young age to figure it all out.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse.
Yeah, I love that.
I want to take a break from this episode to tell you about the School of Traditional Skills. The Homesteading family, you may have heard of them if you follow along with them over on YouTube, has a ton of knowledge to share through their YouTube channel, but they also created this amazing resource called the School of Traditional Skills, where they go to these experts' homes or farms and create professional videos sharing something that is a skill that is necessary for simple living, homesteading, from scratch cooking. Some examples are homestead planning, that's a new one they just added, pressure canning, reclaiming pasture, raising pastured meat chickens, back to Eden gardening style. They did a class with me on fermenting vegetables. They have garden season extension, curing pork, so many things. I'm not gonna read through all of these because there's so many. And I actually just got an email from them that they were shooting a cheese making and dairy class. I'm really excited for that. They're adding new classes all the time, and you can get access to all of these skills, these very professional style videos that teach you things that if you're listening to this podcast, you likely want to know. Maybe not all of them, you can pick and choose. I've watched through some I feel like I already kind of know, some I feel like I'm not currently interested in knowing. Like cheese making, I'm just now interested in that. But for so long, I want to learn nourishing bone broth with Sally Fallon, and then moving on from there. You can check out the School of Traditional Skills through my link, bit.ly/farmhouseskills, and see if it would be a fit for you, if that's something that you are looking to learn some of these skills very in-depth from experts. Head on over again to bit.ly/farmhouseskills.
Okay, so what other entrepreneurial endeavors did you start? I think people think like lemonade stand or selling farm fresh eggs. And a lot of times this is coming from parents who maybe haven't started businesses and they're going through that learning process. And I'm lucky in that I did go through a lot of these learning processes before my kids were old enough to start their own businesses, to where I was like, that doesn't make any money. Like, don't even try that. But
Yeah.
Like what other kind of businesses did you help them to embark on?
I don't think that there's like a cookie cutter answer. I mean, it could be the lemonade stand actually can be profitable. I don't want to knock a lemonade stand. But
no, I'm sure it can.
I'm sure. I mean, if you do it right, if you think of something really creative about it, that's really going to bring in, you know, the money. But you got to always look at that bottom line. And I think that's something important for the kid to learn what that bottom line is. And the mom can't be buying all the sugar and the lemons. The kid has to be buying it to be able to figure out, is this a profitable endeavor?
Right.
But I think instead of giving an answer of 8 different great ideas at different ages, I think the better answer is to tell you, you really have to invest in the time of watching the kid, because the kids, for me at least, I don't know, maybe kids, other kids are different, but mine did not see their God-given talents. They didn't realize how good they were at certain things. My oldest, her first thing was jewelry. We were at a bookstore and she saw a book using paper clips to make jewelry. Like, it was literally, like, I think it was a Klutz book. We love Klutz books. Do they still make Klutz books? Those were like the best. K-L-U-T-Z.
I'm not totally sure I'm familiar.
Well, okay. It was from forever ago because I'm so old. But anyway, it was a Klutz book and it literally came with paper clips even. Like, there were gold paper clips and silver paper clips. And she just thought it was cool because she always liked doing intricate things with her hands. So it attracted her. We went home and I remember her sitting down on her bedroom floor and having it all laid out and being at a standstill. Like, wait, there's these different beads and there's these different color options. I don't know where to go with this. And I spent probably an hour laying out things with her and helping her see, well, these colors look good together. And if you did a design going in this pattern, that might be good. And you could twist your paperclip in different ways, you know, and let's look at the book and combine these two different. So I spent time helping her work through it. And she didn't think she had the ability, but I knew she did because I'd seen the things that she had done, you know? So I knew it was worth investing the time. And this went on for weeks. And we actually went and bought like real jewelry kind of stuff, you know, some beads and different things. And still for weeks, she was like, Mom, I'm not going to do this without your help because I can't figure out what's going to look right together. But after, I don't know, a month or two of that, she built up the confidence and she realized, okay, this looks really cool. And I made this. So I started wearing, because I was her main, I don't know, I was her Vano. I'm displaying her stuff. I don't know. I was.
Oh, you're like model.
Okay, maybe that. I was her model. So she was making it all, you know, for me. And I had my matching earrings and necklace and bracelet that all matched because of the different beads and the wire. But I was wearing it at a gift store for a museum we went to for a field day, or not a field trip. And the owner, not the owner, the manager of the store was there. And she's like, I love your jewelry. Where did you get that? And I'm like, oh, my daughter made it. Your daughter. So that started a 10-minute conversation of her calling Logan over, them sitting there talking. By the time we left the store, the manager, in all sincerity, had set an appointment for Logan to come back next week and bring as much jewelry as she could because she wanted to sell it in her store. And the entire inventory sold within 12 months and Logan saw great profit from that. But if I hadn't sat down on her bedroom floor and really spent time working through what looks good, she probably would have thought it wasn't something she could do. I don't even know what your question was at this point, but
no, but I don't really remember either, but it's important. So many adults want to start something, but they don't think that they can for various reasons, various fears that at this point, a lot of those, I'm sure I still have, but a lot of those I've had at some point and forgotten about because I've been on this journey for a while. But helping kids and helping adults, everybody getting over those fears, otherwise you might not ever start. So that's one of the top things that you need to, you know, you need to promote, you need to teach your kids how to manage money, teach them what's profitable, what isn't. But ultimately, the confidence to start something is going to be a really huge starting point.
Yeah. And it comes back to, I think your question was, how do you, you know what a good business is? Again, it comes back to what are their talents?
Oh, yeah,
I knew Logan was good with, I remembered, right? I knew Logan was good with
that
their
was
hands.
I was trying to circle around. I wasn't sure.
You brought it back. Thank you. You did. And Kayla always loved being in the kitchen. So it made sense for her to do something that would revolve around baking, you know, and Jordan was a robotics fanatic. So it made perfect sense for her to run a camp for kids. I mean, she always loved kids. When she was like 7, she was happiest being around a whole bunch of 4 and 5-year-olds that she was kind of, you know, babysitting. Like, so it made perfect sense that that was in her personality to teach a camp to young kids on something she loved. So
Yeah.
I could go on about that, but you get the gist. Like, you know what they're good at and you encourage it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's hard. A lot of times though, like you're saying that about the camp, but I have a child who would love to do that. And we do have, they do teach a homeschool gymnastics class, but we don't charge it's people from church, but 1 hour a week okay. for little girls in our area. But man, would she love to run a camp. Oh, that sounds like such a cool idea.
And you know what? You know what she could do? She could run the camp that she's charging for, but she can explain that 10% or 20% of all proceeds are going to pay for this other camp for the families that, you know, are benefiting from the one for whatever reason. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, there's so much benefit to telling your client, your customer, that some of what you're investing in me, I am giving forward and I'm investing in others. And that makes them feel better about their investment in you.
Yeah. Well, and that's another challenge that I'm thinking about as we're talking about this is I sometimes have, there are entrepreneurial pursuits that they would like to do and that I would like them to do. But I personally feel bad, almost like I'm charging, like if I were to charge the other ladies at church, it wouldn't be me, it'd be them.
Right.
But if they were paying for this homeschool camp or whatever that my kids would absolutely love to do and be great at, I would feel like I was charging the other moms, which I would absolutely not want to do, you know, or like, oh, are they only buying that because it's a cute little girl and feeling bad about certain things that they're selling. Did you ever struggle with that?
You know, I didn't, but I will be honest that every time a daughter really put big effort into it, it was for an actual end game. And I think that makes all the difference in the world when you are explaining to the parents, she really longs to rescue horses one day and she can't ever be. I don't know if you've ever heard of Kim Meter. Kim Meter was her idol and she wanted to be a Kim Meter who she's out in Oregon, I think, and she's been rescuing horses for decades. And she uses those rescue horses to help children in need, to give them therapeutic time with the horses. So Kayla heard about that, and that was what her dream always was. So the first step in working towards that is I need horse riding lessons. So from a marketing standpoint, it's not going to help to go out and tell people, will you buy my stuff because I need horse lessons because I really want to ride a horse. But if you go out and you tell people, my dream, in all honesty, is to help people to rescue horses and to use them therapeutically. Like, you know, you need a story. Everybody, if you want to do well in the marketing world, you need a good story. It also has to be something you can do as an elevator pitch and keep it short. So you work on that with your child. What would be a good way to explain this to somebody in just a few sentences, you know? But if there's an end game, I never felt bad because they were all really legitimate, great things that the girls were working towards, whether it was a robotics team that she wanted to be on and had to have travel money. Or like I said, someday I really want to have a horse ranch and want to help people with horses. Like, you know, so it might be a matter of you helping your child decide, you know, how are you going to use this in the end to truly give glory to God? Like, what are you going to do with this? Is this just about you or are you going to help others? Or there's something that people are going to benefit from? And then, you know, you have that end game, you have the way to encourage people to come alongside you and help you.
Yeah. And then having a good product. You know, I have one daughter who she's starting a filmmaking business and she's already made two free films she did her first wedding last weekend, which she's editing. And I'm like,
Whoa.
It was my sister's family to her in-law family anyways, they agreed to let her because it wasn't something they weren't going to hire a videographer anyways, you know? So, cause I wanted to make sure, you know, she wasn't in the way and make sure you don't get in the way of the photographer. You know, I want you to provide, but I'm confident that it'll be something of value. And then once this video is fully made, it's, you know, she wants to start charging what wedding videographers charge, you know, build up. She wants to start by, you know, at first it's only going to be this, but then as she gets a little bit better, and obviously she has to be driving before she can do too many weddings, but ultimately being confident and helping them refine the product so that it's a good product would also lessen on the guilt of them selling like a little widget and just people feeling like they're buying something just to be nice.
For sure. Absolutely. And that comes back to what we were saying before. Should you help them? Absolutely. You don't want them to have a crappy product. I mean, you want them to know how to create something that's really worthwhile. And that requires help from an adult, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely all about helping them. I was just specifically meaning on like the using my platform to market, because that seems like very unrealistic. But yes, like absolutely on her level, this, you know, there's been a lot of mom effort in this whole filmmaking business, of course.
And there should be, because you're great at it. And of course, you should be teaching her, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My baby is actually doing, what is it? It's some sort of a weightlifting competition thing, like a really big thing that she's filming.
Oh,
doing like the drone footage and doing pictures and all of that. She wants to be a professional photographer. So she's doing that. And somebody's asked her to do a wedding and she's nervous as heck about the wedding because that's a big deal. And she will be the actual legit real videographer. So,
right. But, she'll be the one. Yeah. This is still like her portfolio work. And she was so nervous about it even still, because she, you know, she had to mic up the people who were doing the speeches with the little lavalier mics like she had to make sure to get all the shots. And I was there. I was so nervous. I'm like, I saw people doing stuff and I'm like, shouldn't you be there? Shouldn't you be there? Like I was thinking it, but I just was like, no, we're going to let you do this.
Yep. Yep. But years ago, Haley, her first thing she did was she offered her services, you know, for free to a garden show. And they didn't have a videographer and they actually took her up on it. It was a garden show in Vermont and she did great. And that, like you said, it built up, helped her build up a portfolio.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about money. What age did you start teaching your kids about money and how? What kind of resources? Are there any books with like the money and the entrepreneurship stuff, or was this mostly self-taught alongside you?
I'm sure there are, but I never used any books or resources like that. It was literally alongside me. I mean, I brought out the checkbook. I know some parents are, and there's probably good reason to be sometime, but I was just never a person that didn't talk about money. Like it was just something we always talked about. And I mean, I can tell you for sure, all four of my girls, they know a good price. They know a good bargain. And that's just because we always talked about it, you know, and they also know how to budget and they know, I mean, they would never rack up their credit card bill and not be able to pay it. What they will do is use their credit card to their benefit, you know, and they're always telling me this great credit card offer, you know, mom, you might want to apply for this one. It gets you 4% back and this and that, you know, but they know how to use money to their advantage because two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, I always talked about it. And number two, I didn't have much. So they saw me figuring out how to save every penny and use each penny well. But sorry, I'm sure there's curriculum. I didn't use it and I don't know of any.
No, to me, that's a less overwhelming answer because I am one who prefers to learn that way. Just being a little bit one step ahead of my kids and then teaching them what I'm learning as opposed to there always being some kind of book, some kind of curriculum. That's definitely not our style either. So even if you would have recommended a book, there's no way I would have bought it. But other people like that.
Yeah.
But just always talking about it, always it being a part of your life and speaking about it alongside your kids and not it being this hush-hush thing. That's how we live too. I mean, to an extent, you know, there are certain things, but for the most part, it's
oh, sure. There are certain things that they should know and don't need to know, but
Yes. Okay. So on the education topic, someone wants to know, can kids still have an entrepreneurial mindset without homeschooling? What way would you recommend fostering that?
Absolutely. I do believe the way I said earlier, some kids or adults too, it's just really not part of their personality and that's okay. They can still have parts of the mindset. I'd say the flip side too. There's some people, kids included, that thrive on an entrepreneurial mindset. Even if it's not about making money, they thrive on, this is what I'm good at. And X, Y, and Z people in these categories can really benefit from what I'm doing here. And I want them to know about it. Like, you know, even if it's not money making per se. And that kind of a kid can absolutely do that. Being in a brick and mortar school, it's absolutely more challenging. And the parent might really need to help them carve out time to figure out where in the weekend or in the evenings they can make time to do it. So I think a parent should really be on top of that. Almost, I don't want to say pushing the kid, but almost, you know, telling him, if you want to see that happen, here's the calendar next week. When can I help you work on that? You know, because you don't have the benefit of being able to do it at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, like you said, the biggest part of that is just going to be helping your child to create space, which you can still have space and time whenever you go to school. It'll just mean less extracurricular activities, which is the same for homeschoolers. Just because you homeschool,
that's true,
does not mean that you have these endless days. I've seen homeschool parents pack out the day just like a regular traditional school where the kids have no free time. And that's where those things come up.
Yes. And I would have been one of those parents if I wasn't telling myself constantly, this, Michelle, is science. It's okay. You know,
right.
It's okay. I would have been one of those and I wouldn't have allowed time for it.
Yes. Oh yeah. There's a lot to be said. And that would be another whole episode entirely on the mindset shifts that have to happen in homeschooling. You can almost like shoot yourself in the foot with homeschooling and make it what it's not meant to be whenever you keep your mindset very stuck in what is normal. So that would be a whole topic on its own.
Yes. And one thing I would recommend in that category they're talking about is to see BHAGs as really important, the big, hairy, audacious goals, and I would try at the mm-hmm. beginning of every school year to literally say to a daughter, what's your BHAG for this year? What's the one thing you want to get done? And I'd really try to remind myself all year long, if she doesn't finish this textbook and we don't get through all of that, did she accomplish this big thing she really wanted to do? You know, she wanted to write a chapter of a book. Did she do that? You know, whatever it was.
I am totally a BHAG person. I've never heard that before, but I do at the beginning of a school year start with what do we really need to accomplish? If nothing else happens, what's important? What kid needs to improve this certain thing so that we feel good about this year? So yeah, it helps with business in as adults. It helps with kids in school to have those just very like overarching, this is the goal. If nothing else happens, we're good.
And us entrepreneurs who are failing and seeing mistakes in, you know, again and again, if we at least have that BHAG and we can say, look at this overarching thing that I did accomplish, then we can feel good. And that gives us the motivation to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So tell everyone where they can find you, follow up with you. Is this something that you talk about a lot on your Instagram, like homeschooling and entrepreneurship, or just occasionally like talk about maybe on your podcast?
Great question. I wouldn't say I talk about it a lot. My Instagram often focuses a little more on the homesteading and the real food. I do certainly talk about parenting and I have some highlights about it for sure. I would recommend, if people want to know more about the homeschooling and the entrepreneur, to go to my blog, solelyrested.com/create.
Okay.
Because I do have a course, actually totally free e-course, that kind of is a crash course to work you through some of these ideas we've just kind of skimmed the surface of. So solelyrested.com/create. And then my own podcast, I would love to see some of your folks over there at Simple Doesn't Mean Easy on any podcast player. And Instagram is solely.rested, solely.rested.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And yes, I love the name of your podcast because I get accused all the time of people who are like, your life's not simple. And I'm like, I didn't say easy. I didn't say easy.
Yeah, you didn't say easy. It's a whole different thing.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. And I will see you in the next one.